are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
We're continuing this morning in the book of James, and we're still in the first chapter. I didn't finish last week, so I want to come back to that passage. James chapter 1. Last time we looked at verses 19 through 25. I want to look, not necessarily at 19, we'll review that in a moment, but we're going to read freshly for us verses 22 through 27, but that would take up the context with 26 and 27 being the verses that I want to add for the morning. Starting at verse 22, because this is the key portion of the passage. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to continue that subject of a proper response. So we're going to call this part two, a proper response. Now, last week, I was just kind of bothered by all of the demonstrations, all of the concerns that gripped the nation in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. But more importantly, I was concerned about the racial divide that continues to plague our nation. And what I noted, and the reason the title, A Proper Response, is because we saw many different types of responses to that demonstration, to that senseless murder. We saw people hitting the streets. We saw people looting. We saw people burning the building. But the question was, and the question still is, what is the Christian response? And what is the Christian response going forward? What is the answer to the racial divide in the nation? And I submit unto you that the answer to the racial divide is Christian living. And it can't just be professing Christianity. Amen. It has to be action Christianity. It has to be more than just talk. It has to be real walk. The 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours in the entire week as black churches gather and white churches gather. Right now, the pandemic has caused all to be closed. But as a rule of thumb, that has been a divided hour. And what bothers me and what concerns me is there are men of both races and all races who don the pulpit and who declare their faith in the same God. And yet the circumstance continue to be played out through racial disharmony. And so it means then that somebody is deceiving themselves. They are either declaring, and I'm not in a position to judge no one. And that's not what I'm seeking to do. And I'm not trying to put any pressure. I'm just bringing out the word of God. The word of God makes it real clear and has made it real clear that there is a such thing as true believers and false believers. That there's a such thing as those who are saved and those who are lost. The scripture, Jesus makes it clear that there is the possibility that people can self-deceive themselves. That they can fool themselves into thinking that they are Christian when in fact they are not. And what's so dangerous about that is that has eternal consequences. And there are going to be some people who will find themselves in eternal hell trying to figure it out for all of eternity how they ended up there. Now, if you don't believe that deception is true, you remember when we studied the Gospel of Matthew. The parable in Matthew chapter 25 brings it real clear. The parable of the virgins. There were five, the Bible says, who were wise. And there were five who were foolish. Now, the five who were foolish deceived themselves. They had all of the trappings of external religion. They carried lamps, right? They dressed appropriately. They all had on the white garments. They all were quote unquote virgins. And they all kept the same company. But the difference came when the cry at midnight came and the virgins who were foolish had deceived themselves because they brought no what? No oil. And so they were not able to go in into the marriage feast because they really wasn't for real. And if Jesus put emphasis on that kind of deception, then it becomes important for me as a pastor to remind and to call to the attention of those past and those present, those who are part of our congregation. And since God has given us a wider platform, to say to whoever may be listening that you have to be careful that you do not deceive yourselves. Because see, what happens is when you are born again, that is, when the word of God comes into your heart, that's supposed to be a change. Listen, when you were born into the physical world, you were born a sinner. And how did you know that you were a sinner? Because the sins manifested themselves. You didn't have to guess. You didn't have to look. You knew that stuff was going on in your life that wasn't right. But when you asked the Lord to come into your life, and the Lord came into your life and saved your soul, then the rebirth, or what we call theologically regeneration, was supposed to take place. And if you have been regenerated, that is, if you've been born again, then your will has changed. And how does the changed will manifest itself? It manifests itself in an outward and an inward fashion. And you're not going to be able to hide it. If you've been born again, there's going to be a change. There's going to be something different. And what James has been saying in his writings to us is that there are tests that you could look at to determine whether or not your faith is authentic. He lays out 10 in the book. We've only covered 3. Well, actually, we covered 2. The first one was the test of trial. When you go through a trial, you can discover whether or not you have legitimate faith or not. And the second test he talks about was a test of temptation, not the same count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. No, down past by verses 13, 14, and 15. In that section, he talks about when a man is enticed. He's drawn away. That is when he's tempted. When he's tempted to sin, he's drawn away of his own lust. And God is not to blame. So that was the second test. But then the third test is the one that we've been examining these 2 weeks. And that's the test of response, obedient response to the word of God. And what we said was that to respond appropriately to the word of God, the proper response is first to receive the word. If you're gonna receive the word, you receive the word with humility. Now he said in verse 19, he said you got to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry when the word of God shows you your sin. You can't get angry with me, or you should not get angry with me. If we show you the word and the word reveals to you that there's some stuff going on in your life that ought not be going on in your life. So the first response that he gives to us as a Christian is that we ought to receive the word. Now, when you've been changed, it doesn't mean that you still won't sin. Right? Paul speaks about that in Romans chapter 7. Let me just kind of illustrate it a little bit, because Paul talks about his circumstance as a Christian. In verse 15, he said, the thing that I hate is the thing that I end up doing. You know, in other words, he's saying, you know, there's something inside of me. I really don't like what I see. He said, but I end up doing it anyway, and the very thing that I desire to do, I don't do. He said, and what he's talking about is, as a Christian now, when I sin, I don't have to like it. It ought to bother me that I do some things that I hate. But the problem is, when I still like what I do, and I want more of it. Hello, somebody. So let me talk about the deception here. If I have been born again as a Christian and I still find that I have pockets of hatred toward other people in my heart, that should bother me. I should not cover that up. Now, if we come back to James in this illustration here, what he's saying, the second response that a Christian is to have, not only to receive the word, but is to be a doer of that word. Now, what we're really saying in the morning's message, I'm going to give you 3 things that I want to say to you this morning in this second part, is that number one, when you respond to the word of God, you have to respond to the word of God without, touch somebody and say, without deception. If you're going to receive the word, don't deceive yourself. Don't fool yourself. If you got it in you, it's supposed to come out of you. And if it comes out of you, you can know that you are a Christian. All right? You don't just have the trappings of external religion. And that's what he's getting ready to explain. That's what I'm going to talk about in just a moment this morning here. But there are a lot of people, my fear is that there are a lot of people who are self-deceived. They sit in church week after week. They hear the best of the sermons, and there is no change. That's got to be one of the greatest deceptions. Look what he says. The illustration that James gives in verse 24 to verse 22, when he said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." He says, a hearer only is one who looks into the mirror and goes his way and forgets what he looks like. I've done that. You have. We talked a little bit about that. Listen, there have been some mornings that I've been shaving. And got shaving cream on, and somebody called me or moved me away from the mirror. And I go ahead and finish getting dressed and don't go back. And then I find myself out in the public and I got a little shaving cream there. And folk looking at me funny like, you immediately know something wrong. But the problem was, when I was in the mirror, I didn't fix what I saw. When you are a child of God and you are looking in the word is going to show you you. And if you are true, you ought to want to fix it. You can't fix it, but you can cry out to God for God to fix what's wrong. But that's where the deception comes. When a person comes week after week to church and they hear the word of God, the word points out that something is wrong in their life, but they do absolutely nothing about it or cry not out to God for any mercy, then that's a deception. So if you're going to receive the word and respond to the word without what? Deception. Don't be one of the virgins dressed up like everybody, but don't have nothing on the inside. No oil, because you won't be able to go to heaven. Okay? That's the point. Now, he also carries that illustration a little further. He says, but the one who is a doer of the word is one who goes to the mirror and stays there. And the mirror, he calls the perfect law of liberty, which is the very word of God. Now what the illustration points out, you got to understand, they didn't have in James' day, they didn't have glass mirrors like you have today. They would shine bronze or brass up in such a way that if a person looked in it, they could see themselves. But the image wouldn't always be as clear. But one who was interested in really seeing what was wrong would take a little bit more time and squat and bend to try to get a real good look at themselves so that they could fix what was wrong. That's an intentional effort. And so what this word is saying, if you are a true believer, you want to take a real hard look in the word. You want to stay in the word until God is working on and working out what's wrong in your life. That can include any number of things. And since I was talking about the response to racism, it includes that. You cannot look as an African American in your heart, in the word of God, and become convicted and still want to hate other people because they look different from you. And by the same token, if you are a white person, you can't look into the word of God consistently and see this behavior is still going on in my life and I be comfortable with that. That requires a proper response. So now James moves on, and I'm going to move. This is where I want to go for the morning. James moves on from verse 25, where he has declared that you have to be a doer of the word, because he doesn't want us to think that all you have to be is a doer, because there are a lot of doers. There are a lot of people who are doers. They do all kinds of religion. There are a lot of religious people. They do the morning service. They do the Sunday school time. They do the 11 o'clock. They do the BTU. They do the night service. They do a lot. They do every mission thing that comes along. They do a lot. But listen to what James says in verse 26. Because this is the second point for the morning. The first point is receive the word without deception. The second point is receive the word without selfishness. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. If any man thinks himself to be religious. That's what he's saying, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? If any man thinks himself to be religious, that is, you have made your own evaluation about who you are. I'm a religious man. I'm a church man. I attend church. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm an Episcopalian. Whatever it is, I'm a religious man or a religious woman. All right, now, what you got to understand about that original word for religion, it implies the external trappings only. Come on, Jesus, help us here. Because Jesus pointed that out to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the most religious people ever. And in Matthew's gospel, chapter 23, Jesus points out the religion of the Pharisees. He said, you have cleaned the outside of the cup and plate, but inside is filth. You know what he said? He goes on a little further. He said, you painted the tombs. You look pretty outside. You're like whitewashed tombs. But on the inside, you smell like a dead man. That's the problem with just external doing. There are a lot of people who can do and look good on the outside. But the issue is what's on the inside. And so James moves this thing. First, he says, evaluate yourself. Or if you've evaluated yourself and you've determined that you are a religious man or woman, and it's just only outside, then guess what you have done? You have deceived who? Yourself. But he says now, if you don't want to deceive yourself, you have got to be, if you are a true religious person, and the opposite word the Apostle Paul uses for religion, he talks about godliness. And there's a difference between religion and godliness. Religion can be carried on externally, but godliness takes place where? On the inside. So look at the unselfish response that this man speaks of. If any man believes himself to be religious, that's what he's talking about right there in that 26th verse. And then he says, and bridleth not his tongue. See, you can't just be an external person who have the trappings of religion and then talk to folk any kind of way. And you know that's the truth, don't you? You know, there are a whole lot of folk, man, that who can speak in tongue, but they can't speak kindly to one another. They can speak in a heavenly language and cause the world to turn flips at their speech. But inside, that's where the real deal is. And so people can stand on podiums and platforms and they can make speeches to thousands of people and have people go to the polls and vote for them. But internally, the activity that comes out of that is what determines whether or not a person has been redeemed. And so listen at what he says. He said, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Somebody looking at me funny. They said, well, why is he talking about the tongue? Because the tongue is just the represented or the emblematic representation of what's going on in a person's heart. Jesus put it like this: out of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, you can't have external religion without internal control. Are you hearing me, somebody? I can't say on the outside that I'm Mr. Goody Two-Shoe, but then on the inside, I'm still full of hell and hate. So what's the response, America? What's the response, Christians? What's the response, pastors? What's the response, church? You cannot just talk religion. And there is no internal change in your heart. You can't just bang the pulpit, or you just can't bang the gavel and then treat people any kind of way. There's a disconnect, and it's also a real deception. And I fear that that's what's happening. I feel that there are many people who come week after week and they leave and go back out and be the same that they were before they came in. Something is wrong with that picture. And the bottom line is, that's where the deception is, because people feel, I went to church, I stayed there, I sung in the choir, I participated in the ordinances, I did all of these external things. But let me follow you home and see how you talk to your wife or to your husband. Let me see what you say to your children. Let me see how you treat your neighbors and how you treat your friends. How you treat people who are different from you. What's the conversation like when you're not in mixed company? When you're just with your buddies? Because let me tell you something. A person's speech will tell you what's really in their heart. Now, you can listen to a person. It might not come out that time. But if you listen long enough, what's really on the inside is going to come out through the mouth. So listen at what this man is saying again. I don't want you to miss this. Whoever seems religious among you and bridleth not his tongue, listen at what he says. He said, that man's religion is useless. Because what you have done is deceived yourself. Because you have not fooled God. And you really are not fooling other folk either. Really, the only person you fool is yourself. Oh, help us today, Lord. I just believe that there are too many people who like to stand front and center, who want people to think of them in high ways, that they are good and they are godly. You see them and they got their car full of their children and they're going and they look like on the outside. But the inside. I knew a man once, man, who had a son. And I was counseling the son. And a couple was going to be married and he sat with me and he said, I just got to tell you how I was raised. He said, my dad, I could never do nothing that was right enough for him. He said, if I made the varsity, then I wasn't a starter. If I made a B, it wasn't an A. If I did this, it was never that. It was always something else. He literally crushed me. Now, on the outside, the man was upstanding and outstanding and having everybody to think that he had it going on. But the effect that he had on his family was totally the opposite of what he projected to the public. Are y'all hearing me? Man, I think that hits a lot closer than even you may want to acknowledge. And I submit unto us today that that's what's going on in America. We got people who think that just because externally we're the dominant culture, that what we do is right. And we're religious because we go to church and we do charitable things and we do other kinds of things that give the impression that we're solid citizens. But the question is not whether or not you're a solid citizen. The question really is, are you a child of God? Because if you're a child of God, something different is going to be in your life. There's going to be a proper response. And so I submit unto you today that not only must we receive the word with humility and with purity, that it cleans us up, and with meekness that we have and maintain a teachable spirit. All of that we dealt with in the previous messages. But the response that we're talking about today is not receiving the word without deceiving yourself. And you demonstrate that you're receiving the word without deceiving yourself by not being selfish. Now watch this. Because out of your heart, the tongue is going to speak. You're going to have to control your tongue. You're going to have to say right things that come from a right heart. But then he goes on a little further and shows the selflessness of a right Christian. He says, if man, any man's religion be real, let's go on down that right there. Verse 27, pure religion, he says, and undefiled before who? Before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows. That's where the selflessness comes. You got to be the kind of person who is concerned about people who are helpless. If you can't be concerned about people who are helpless, something is really wrong with your religion. Now, he uses these two categories of people, the fatherless, which means orphans. And the Old Testament is full of consistent commands for the children of Israel to look out for the orphans and for the widows. Because those were two vulnerable groups of people. You got to know that when the Old Testament was written, there was no such thing as a federal government. And so there were no social programs. So God did not make it so that it was the responsibility of the federal government to take care of folk. The responsibility was laid on the people. And because that was going to be one of the ways in which your true Christianity was going to shine forth. How you feel about folk who don't have a daddy. Or how you feel about children who don't have a mama. How you feel about those who cannot fend for themselves. Who are lost in the world without a visible source of support. And not only is it true of orphans, but it was also true of widows. Widows in those days, biblical days, did not work outside of the home. They depended upon the man. And as long as the man was there to take care of her, she was fine. But if some unfortunate situation occurred where the man was removed from life, then that widow woman was in deep trouble. Now, let me help you because you're looking at me funny. You remember the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, there was a woman whose name was Naomi. And she had a husband whose name was Elimelech. And she had two sons. Now, guess what happened? Husband died, left her a widow, but at least she had sons to support, right? But each one of them did what? They died. And she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Because she knew that her life was sorrowful, right? And so when she goes back to Bethlehem, and she takes, well, the young girl, Ruth, went along with her. She told her some important things. Listen, as they are gleaning the fields, hang back because they are required by law to leave something for the widows and for the orphans. So Ruth was able to glean the field because the law, the Jewish law, required that their religion show, not through what they said, but through what they did. And so the question today is, what's your religion showing? What is America's religion showing? If we are a Christian nation, and if we have pastors who are accurately or rightly dividing the word of truth, then why are we still seeing the same kinds of things? Because I'll tell you why. Because either somebody is deceived or somebody's religion is not real. And it may be a combination of the two. Now, what I'm calling for today is that we not be part of that. That the Christian family not be counted as being those who have deceived themselves or be those who have a false religion. I didn't come just to shout. I didn't come just to wave my hand. I came to look in the perfect law of liberty so that my life can be changed. That my life could count for good and could count for God. And so I want to be obedient to what I see. So the question is, first and foremost, what's the proper response? Receive the word. Receive the word. We go back and read it. 19, verse 19. Receive the word with humility. Slow to speak. I mean, quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry when the words show you. That's humility. With purity, receive the word with purity. Let the word clean you up. Get rid of the filth. And all of those stuff that's in verse 20. Receive the word with meekness, that is, have a teachable spirit. That's a proper response. But then the proper response goes further. You got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because if you're a hearer only, you have deceived who? Yourself. Can't be, can't look in this word, can't look into this law, and then go back and forget what you look like. When you're looking in the law, fix what you see wrong. So don't receive the word with deception. And don't receive the word, secondly, for the day, with selfishness. Bridle your tongue, control your tongue, because it's going to determine what's in your heart. And watch how you handle people who are helpless. Are you really concerned about those who really need support? Are you really concerned about people who can't make it on their own unless they get some help from what you have responsibility for? But then the third response in this text for the morning is not only receiving the word without deception and receiving the word without selfishness, but it's receiving the word and keeping oneself unspotted. Well, let me put it my way. Receive the word without compromise. Amen. That's the way to say it. Receive the word without compromise. Look, that's what he closes this passage out with. Look at what he says. He started in verse 27 when he says, pure religion and undefiled, that's not made up, that can stand before God and the Father, is this, that you visit the fatherless and orphans. And that doesn't mean just go by and say, hey. That means help folk. Okay? And then he says, and to keep himself, what? Unspotted from the world. Now, that's self-explanatory. It means keep yourself out of compromising circumstances with your life. Let your life be what it is. Don't let your life be a contradiction. If your life is true, then be true. If you're a child of God, be a child of God. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Don't have people have to always have to set you straight. You ought to be one to set your own self straight. You got to tell yourself the truth. I mean, keeping oneself unspotted, that's a Christian duty. You have to watch what you do. You have to watch what you say. You have to watch how you live. You have to take an inventory constantly on how you handle yourself. Now, does it mean that you're not going to sin? Yes, you are going to sin because you are a sinner. But the issue is not whether or not you sin. The issue is how you feel about it. So here's the test. That's a threefold test. You test yourself. You test yourself with others. And you test yourself with the world. When you test yourself, you tell yourself the truth about you. You don't deceive you. Somebody said, I talk to myself. And I do. I talk to me because I'm not going to lie to me. I'll tell myself the truth. Boy, you blew it. You didn't handle that right. You messed up. And nobody can be harder on me than I can be on myself. I'm going to tell me the truth because I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to fool myself as I come and go into thinking no one else would know the kind of person I really am. I don't want to dress myself up in sham. I want to go out with my head erect, like to deserve all men's respect. But in this struggle for fame and pelf, most of all, I want to be able to like myself. And I can only like myself when I tell me the truth. So if you want to test your religion, check you with you. Secondly, if you want to test whether or not you have real religion, then test yourself with others who have needs. Are you one that says, so sorry, so sad. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Or are you one to recognize a need and try to meet that need in the unique ways that you may be personally equipped to do? Are you just speaking to folk, just saying hi? You know, one of the mission projects that we have going is a feeding program. How in the world are you going to share the gospel and someone is hungry? And you tell them the Lord will take care of you. And God has given you 1,000 boxes to bless somebody. Are you following that? You know, you can't just service people that you like. Or people who are your buddies. Or people who are in your circle of influence. You have to be willing to give whatever the Lord has given to help whoever that may have need. So you can test yourself. You can test your own religion. You don't need me to put a spiritual thermometer by the side of your head. You can do it yourself. How do you feel about people who really need help? And then thirdly, you can test yourself with the world. What you mean the world? I'm talking about the world's philosophy. I'm talking about the world's values. Are you saying, Pastor, that we can't drive on the freeway? No, that's not what I mean. Does it mean we can't go to the grocery store? No, that's not what I mean. Those are items, relegations in the world. But I'm talking about the world's philosophy. Do you want more of the world's idealism? Or do you want less of that and more of God? What is it that you want? Do you want to be more like the devil or more like Jesus? I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Whose philosophy? Who is going to influence your mind? And who is going to guide and direct your life? When you see that you can get over, are you satisfied with getting over? Or are you just determined, oh, Lord, I didn't do that right. Forgive me. Help me. This is what, going back to Paul in Romans 7, the good that I would, I don't do. But he said, but I hate it. That was his mind toward the world. He did not like how he behaved when he behaved in an ungodly fashion. And so my word this morning is, as America looks at its problem of racism. What are we going to do about it? I mean, it's not going to be enough to walk streets. It's not going to be enough to destroy people's personal property. It's not going to be enough to lift up hands and to wave signs. It's going to be changed lives. It's going to be Christian people, regardless of what color they are, living out their true faith. You're going to have to be people who genuinely receive the word. And then you're going to have to be people who genuinely respond in obedience to that word. And that means you're going to have to not deceive yourself. It means you're going to have to genuinely be concerned about widows and orphans or fatherless or whoever it may be that need your help. And you're going to have to keep yourself unspotted. You're going to have to not compromise. If I'm a child of God, then I'm a child of God. And I'm a child of God wherever I am. I'm not just a child of God when I'm in the company of other children of God. I'm not just a child of God when it's Sunday morning and I'm standing in the pulpit. I've got to be a child of God on Monday. I've got to be a child of God on Tuesday. I got to be a child of God on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday night, on Saturday night. I got to be a child of God every time. I got to be a child of God when it's not popular. I got to be a child of God when my friends are talking about me. I got to be a child of God when my heart is broken. I got to be a child of God if I have to stand by myself. I've got to be who I've got to be. I've got to learn how to let some things go and allow God to do his work. And I can't be one to stand in the way. I can't be one to keep other people down, trying to lift up some others, and at the same time declaring that I'm God's man. If I got to be God's man, then I got to be God's man all the time. And the way you be God's man or God's woman is to let go, brother. Let go, sister. And let God have his way in your life. Let God's will be done. Jesus taught it, didn't he? Thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. And so my appeal first to anybody who might not be a believer, to someone who might not know the loving power of Jesus to save and to forgive, let me help you know that he will come into your life. He will clean you up. His word will show you you. He'll put the light on you. He'll show you you. And he'll show you the wrong, the ugliness. But he'll also clean you up. And he'll make you new on the inside. He'll change your will. He'll change your heart. But you have to pray. You have to ask him. You have to say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl you want me to be. You got to tell him, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came into the earth. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were raised the third day. And now I want you in my heart. Friend, if you prayed like that, your life changed. God will save you. That's what we're talking about here. The test of your salvation, the test of the trueness of it, is that you'll see these things. Somebody else might need a different prayer. Somebody else might need a different conviction. Lord, I've been wrong. I've been hiding behind. I've not owned who you are. I've been selfish. I have not been selfless. I've not helped those that I could have helped. Forgive me. Give me a giving heart. Somebody else might say, my spirit has been unclean. I've been compromising. I've been wishy-washing. I changed with whatever group I'm with. Save me from that. Whatever your need is today. You got to learn how to let go and let God. Those of you who are burdened, let go. Turn it loose. Let God have his way. Those of you who are concerned about the pandemic, let go. Let God. God will do it. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Anybody know that if you let go, let God have his way, you do it. Anytime during the singing of the song, you can give God your heart. You can get one of these, your hand. You're here. You want to unite fellowship and you're out in the community. You want to call the church's membership line. You're welcome to do so. If you want to call the prayer line, need prayer, need counseling, whatever it might be, we're here for you. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing now. A proper response.
Couldn't seem to fall asleep.
Sing, Leo.
See, that's called word right there.
So much on my mind. Searching for that peace. That peace I cannot find.
Yeah.
But then I kneel down to pray.
Yes.
Father, help me please. He said you don't have to cry.
Feel it up.
Because I'll supply all your needs.
Soon as I start. Let go. stop looking at that thing. I let go and I let go. I did not have His way.
That's when the nation will change. When we let go and let God have His way. When we stop trying to oppress and suppress and allow God to lift all the fallen mankind, we'll see the power and the value of God as He moves in the lives of His people. So shall we stand now as we come to the close? Old song, Amazing Grace. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Right here with me. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Father, we thank You today. The United States of America is still the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
Yes, it is.
We pray for this nation of ours. We pray that You would bring unity. We're going to let go and let You. We want to live our lives as Christian men and women. Not in the pretense, not deceiving ourselves, but receiving the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. And once You have saved our souls and have changed our lives, may we respond, not through deception, not through selfishness, not with compromise, but standing boldly and honestly and living out our lives.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.